listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 19th. My name is Michael Kelly and I am here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here. It just seems like the summer's gone by so fast, so I had to throw that in there. It's like, oh my God, when you said August 19th, I just about fell over.
I'm telling you, it's yeah. Both going by so fast and yet so slow. It seems like 2020 has gone on forever.
Oh, time warps. But for sure. Anyway, I'm glad to be here with you.
Well, glad to have you. It's going to be another fascinating discussion tonight. Welcome to those joining us live, as well as to those that can catch us on the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. So as always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, on to tonight's topic. Really, we're talking about the moon, the stars, the patterns that we see, the relationship to humanity. And, you know, we've been talking a little bit about this beforehand, too, and it's an interesting topic, especially when you kind of delve into, you know, to get us started, you know, the concept of the age-old thoughts about the full moon and what kind of impact does that have on behavior?
Well, you know, I've done some recent research on that, Michael, and to this date, there's no repeatable science to validate what it could be that could cause people's behaviors to change during a full moon or a new moon. And I find that really interesting. There's a lot of theories, speculations, and loads of people will say, you know, people who work in hospitals, people who, the police, and, what was it I was just reading? I was telling you about that epileptic seizures increase 1.5 times during a full moon. So there's definitely something to it in the electromagnetic frequencies. But as you were pointing out, as we progressed in our conversation, that mm-hmm. the moon is more like a mirror. It's the sun that we tend to be affected by most.
Yeah. And, you know, the solar energy that that we get really sustains everything, and it really impacts a lot of our electromagnetic fields and things like that. But I think you were making a good point about how, you know, solar flares and things can have a bigger impact than a full moon on different, you know, behaviors and patterns.
And apparently we just had one yesterday, big solar flares. I was reading that a couple of days ago also. And who knows? I mean, it's... there's a lot of, Wendy just wrote, nice to have you back, Wendy. Hope you had a great holiday, by the way. Wendy wrote in the chat, grocery stores, as we know where she works. There's definitely something to it. Of course, astrologers, we could go back, you know, eons and talk about how astrologers kind of lay out the planets and talk about those influences of energy. And they would chart out where you're at right now in life and where the moon is, where the sun is, where Jupiter is, Mars and Mercury and so on, to give influences of energy. And of course, you know, people, they're, you know, taking, gleaning past information that's accumulated and putting their own take on it. But we're definitely, I believe, definitely influenced by these, I call it just the EMFs, the, and Dr. Stephen writes, induced electromagnetic field fluctuations dramatically change during solar flares. Exactly. And the moon, of course, has a tremendous, I love the way you put that, Michael, it's a mirror, you know. So we have these influences of energy. I know that even the old cowboys, when I was young, and my grandfather was an old country vet, they would not castrate cattle unless it was a new moon, less bleeding. They would always say on a full moon, you bleed more. But if you want your garden to grow better, you plant the, you know, certain days before and leading up to a full moon. Root vegetables, when you plant those, when you plant the up top vegetables and so on. And which there's also the science to gardening and which vegetables like each other. But that is actually based on nutrients and what kind of chemicals they give off. They like each other or they don't. They'll grow together or not. So it's either compatible chemicals in those, in the structures or not. But just the patterning of growing things, it has been around forever. I have used it time and again, like in my entire adulthood, you know, growing gardens. And it's kind of, unless I have really bad soil,
yeah,
it works.
That is interesting. I hadn't heard that before about, you know, the cycle of the moon being relative to those things. So that's interesting to hear. And, you know, most of the time you hear about people acting crazy and being, you know, bizarre and things like that on the full moon. And I think some people, a lot of people can attest to that. I think maybe it's just, well, I think there's a lot of things. I think that we always look for patterns and we could, you know, be picking up on something that may or may not be there. But it is definitely something that goes back a long ways. It's nothing, you know, it's not just a recent phenomenon. No. It's something that people have talked about for a very long time.
Well, and Dr. Stephen has written, if I can just inject, full and new moons reveal linear alignment with the Earth and Sun and subtle gravitational variations. So that's, and thank you for that, Dr. Stephen, because, you know, that's absolutely the push-pull kind of feel. Hmm. Also, throwing that in there.
Yeah, very interesting point.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like you were talking about, the Earth lives in patterns. We have, you know, cycles that we progress through. And for, you know, countless millennia, human beings have used the moon and the stars to plan, you know, harvests, plan life, plan everything. And we look for those patterns. Now, you know, one can say that a lot of times people read way too much into things. You know, you have some bad things happening in human history because of it. You know, human sacrifice here and there. That's going to happen. But
and whether you're going to conceive a girl or a boy, you know, there's certain cultures that will travel to an aurora borealis to conceive a child, that it would be guaranteed the gender that you want at certain times. And to me, that's a little out there. So that's, I mean, if people believe that, that's fine. But again, there's no science to it.
Isn't that kind of the interesting thing, though? If people believe it,
yeah.
then they may have a chance of making it happen. It's belief and focus have a strange effect on reality in the world. You know, and not always. It's sometimes it's very subtle, but, you know, we talk about the full moon having an effect, and I think one reason, in addition to any rational reasons there may be, is simply that people believe it will have an effect, so it does have an effect. People, you know, full moon, they think of it from pop culture, they are familiar with the references, and I think that belief has a lot to do with, you know, perhaps, you know, the idea of being, you know, more, a little bit more wild when the full moon is out. But, well, it's always brighter out. You can do more.
Well, Dr. Stephen is also, you know, with a footnote here, saying, asking if we've considered the possibility that patterns are evidence of subtle forces. And yeah, if you're observing objectively, I totally agree. And as long as it's, see, we're all very subjective. And, through our own eyes, and we're going to see everything through our own eyes, living in our own reality. But if we can be objective and see it more as, in other words, if you can see something as clear that new ideas can come in without being jaded by our own consciousness, which is really tough to do. So it's being able to look at something. And because you have your own conditioning, your own program, your own everything in your brain, and being able to see something that is unfamiliar and see a pattern and say, whoa, and I need to explore that because it's something I've never seen before. And I think that that's the key, even in science. You know, a lot of science is based on what they know and they think they know and what's known before. And it's, is there, do we have open enough minds to look at things that are unfamiliar and be okay with that?
Right. Well,
you know, and so.
It's the mindset that really anything is truly possible because we know that our perspective is limited, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everything is probable or doesn't mean everything is true, but we keep an open mind to the fact that the world is a much, much bigger place than we could ever comprehend, and there's going to be much that is unknown to us and will be unknown for quite some time. And I hope that one day our species evolves to the point where we can truly understand some of these, you know, critical, fundamental understandings of the metaphysical nature of awareness, of what life is, what is consciousness. You know, be nice to eventually pinpoint if there can be any... well, I think life after death is going to have to be just always a matter of faith in... I don't think it's ever going to be something that you can scientifically prove, no matter how advanced we get in our understanding of the world around us.
Yeah.
But it's...
Well,
oh, go ahead.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. It's Dr. Stephen, I'm glad you brought that up. He said of subtle forces, an example might be seeing an aura of someone. And, of course, I'm going to bring up a comment in an article that... is in this Lunar Effects on Mood and Biology. And this author writes, they want to acknowledge the fact that there are some people who are highly sensitive to or who have highly unusual interactions with electromagnetic fields. And like some people have adverse reactions to cell phones, computers, fluorescent lights. Oh boy, do I have a problem with some lights. Or you walk in the room, you know, where the lights flicker or these people actually cause electrical devices to blow fuses. And which is really interesting because each of us has our own electrical system and we interact with outer, you know, electricity and electromagnetic frequencies. And, of course, referencing what Dr. Stephen's writing, some people are able to actually see it. And part of the translation then would be with colors. So being able to actually see the energy, you know, is... I really think that a lot of people
say,
oh, where did we get dropped in the universe, Michael?
Well, we just fell off the ether. But I'm sorry, we actually had an internet connectivity issue. But we're back now and
back
to broadcasting.
All right. Well, I'm not sure where we all left off, but except before we get cut off, but some people have a really high sensitivity to outside energy forces, which is a science, and it can be proven. And interacting with that, I tell you, I cannot wear a watch or anything like that. I have to, you know, have a relationship with computers. All my clocks go weird all the time. It has always been that way. So there are people who are very, very sensitive, you know. And so, again, it's that we are a current of electricity. So it makes sense that our own physical, like I'm talking the autonomy, an individual's autonomy, autonomous kind of electrical force, is coexisting with outer forces that are, you know, in your own home and your community and out there into the universe. And there's going to be different effects that occur as we're interacting with all these, you know, different pulses, if you will, of radiation, for one, but electricity is primary. So I think that's really an interesting point to make, and that some people can really see it, like see the grid lines, see the pulses, hypersensitivity. So are we still on, Michael?
Oh, we're still on. I'm just multitasking. I'm trying to... Looks like we haven't had some people that are still in chat but haven't been able to reconnect, but...
Oh, okay.
But anyway, it is... we know that Dr. Stephen can still hear us, and that's good, because he's still making some excellent points. And string theory, that's a dense topic to get into. But, you know, it's interesting to think about. And, you know, one thing I'll always say is just because if something doesn't happen, you know, to me, like, for example, I've never really noticed a real correlation in my personal behavior or mood, depending on the moon cycle. But I'm aware of the fact that everybody is different and reacts differently to different stimuli. So I'm aware that it could have an impact on people that, like you said, and like that article we were discussing prior said, people who are sensitive to it, who have a high sensitivity to it. And I would say that's just about being open-minded. But rational, you know. And I would always also point out that it's easy for us to try to look for patterns and to always assume that correlation equals causation, but we have to be smart about that too. But doesn't mean there's not something real going on, especially in certain different aspects. But, you know, I was thinking also beforehand that we were talking about cycles of the moon and what have you, but I know that there are astrological periods. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we're in the age of Aquarius right now.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure what that means, but it makes for good 70s music and different things.
Well, it has to do with every 2,000 years what the primary influences are, apparently. Mm-hmm. But that's just it. We can do a micro and a macro, right?
Right.
We can look at it this way, and we can look at it that way. And well, every other way in between. And I think we absolutely do, as Earth is just one small, you know, planet in all of this vast universes. And I think we're definitely going to have some kind of interaction, energetic interaction, that's not just gravity, but other kinds of energy forces that keep us within this galaxy, that keep us within this force, and we're interacting with that at all times. So will that affect human beings? I would have to say yes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's but to some people it might be more subtle.
Sure.
I love a full moon. I like that energy. I just bathe in it. I think it's, I find that, I just find it interesting to watch people, actually, and hear the stories, and a heightened sensitivity for me, But I also found that the new moon has an interesting, if you tune into the energy in a new moon, which ought to be, you'd think, quiet, actually has its own great power. And so there's different energies at work, and if we can observe them and work with them and find out what works for us in our lives. But again, what works for you, Michael, might not work for me, and so on. I know that in witchery, people who practice witchery, the moon cycles are everything. It's everything is planned out by a moon cycle. Indigenous cultures, if we go back far enough, like absolutely. Pantheists, everything is in nature, so you plan your, you know, your life by the seasons and how nature is, and the moon is all a part of that. So, I know, have we fallen into it, or created some of that in our own minds, or are we truly attempting to live with these natural cycles and rhythms? It, you know, it's a discussion.
It is. It is. And, you know, I also was thinking about just the sheer vastness, and this is might be a little bit off topic, but we were talking about discussing on the macro and the micro, and it occurs to me when you go to the atomic level, everything is a new and incredible universe unto itself, just like if you go to the macro. And it seems like either direction you go, it's you go into the infinity that is existence, which is just an interesting thought. And I don't know how it really ties into this discussion of cycles
and
space, but I will say... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I think it's more scientific, logical kind of approach as opposed to just the esoteric approach. That's what I think is relevant.
Well, it is interesting to know that, you know, we're all made of star stuff, and everything that we find within us is going to be found elsewhere in the universe. And we look to the stars for meaning, and I think, you know, it's only natural. And we, for, like I said before, for countless millennia, we've used the stars to try to find patterns in life. And I think in some ways we've been able to do that with some success, and in other ways it's been taken far too far.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm sorry to hear Dr. Edward has to leave because he couldn't recover the sound on the program tonight. And I hope, you know, most of you got sound back. I know a few
people did.
We had that little glitch.
Looks like we have most everybody back. I'm sorry we couldn't keep Dr. Edward. I was looking forward to a card later this evening. But
Well, speaking of cards, anybody would like to have some cards drawn tonight, put your name in the chat. Because we'll be happy to pull them momentarily. As everybody knows, Michael pulls a Inner Oracle self-discovery cards based on the IMHS, you know, programming. And I pull a supporting tarot card, and we see what we get. So
yeah,
happy to do that.
Usually just something, you know, like we've said in the past, just something to make you think. And It can definitely generate, you know, some introspective thought. And, you know, a lot of times cards or, you know, messages will be pulled for others that really makes me think. So I hope that it has that effect on everybody that's able to listen to kind of reflect on the moment and just consider life in a different perspective.
Totally agreed. Shall we begin, Michael?
I think so.
Begin? We're starting to get some names coming up, so... we've got Dr. Darlene first. Nice to have you here, Darlene. So how about you draw a card for Darlene, Michael?
Absolutely. And I have number 41, communication. All right. Communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, well, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Sorry, too long a pause there.
Sorry about that. I was jumping in too quick there, Michael. Sorry.
Those dramatic pauses get me anytime.
Yeah. Well, Darlene, for you as a support to communications is the Jack of Hearts, the Jack, Knight of Cups in tarot language. I see a Jack, although they have Jacks to Kings, they don't have Princesses to Queens, right? So I generally think of a Knight or a Jack as either or. So it's either male or female, and it can be either one. And in this case, being of the heart, you know, it's communication from the heart. And are you speaking your truth? Are you finding the words? Are you articulating? And maybe it is a time where learning to articulate how you feel and to put it into words. I always say, though, when we don't know how to say something, it's just push the pause button. Take a breath, let emotions pass, and then the words can flow freer, as long as you're really comfortable with yourself. And that's the whole point of communication, is learning to be more comfortable with who you are and what you have to say. So I would say that you're in a time of shifting. That's my sense, Darlene, and learning to really speak your truth and from your heart. And I really like that. I think that's great. So I hope in some way in your life that makes sense to you.
Very nice.
So
all
now,
right, I think we have Kevin.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, and Kevin, I pulled wild card number 4, unknowable.
My favorite, actually.
Ah, the wild cards are always fun. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind, and you change your world. Change your mind, and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, Kevin, this is huge growth for you, because I pulled the sun. And the sun, in support of unknowable, is new life, new beginnings. So it's like opening your mind to any and all possibilities. Maybe it's stepping out of your comfort zone or doing something you didn't think you could possibly do before. But this is a real growing time. And I'm not going to say it's like a spurt. I feel like this is my sense of it is like it's a natural kind of progression, if you will. And so there's some realizations. And you're going to put them to good use now. And you're going to be able to grow your ideas. So good on you. I think that COVID or no COVID, man, nothing's stopping Kevin. So you got a good turn of events coming, Kevin.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, Wendy, we have... What have you got for Wendy, Michael?
For Wendy, we pulled another wild card. This is wild card number 1, Paradox. This is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new... proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Well, Wendy, in support of a paradox is the world. I would say Wendy's on to something too. You know what I'm noticing here in these three people now we've done so far? It's a really positive shift. And so I'm going to tell you that I have noticed changes in people, especially in these last, I'd say 4 or 5 days. changes in people's lives. You know how time does a loop sometimes and comes back to the beginning again, whether that's like a year or 9 years or however that goes. But I'm seeing this, and I'm seeing some really good things for people. So for you, Wendy, when you have paradox, yeah, that's in and of itself. But the world here is all the elements are in your favor. So if you're feeling a loop of sorts, a loop of time where, hey, this is familiar, you know, we're connecting with people, you know, things you're seeing, it's how do you want that? Think of it as a deja vu in a way. How do you want it to go forward now? So all the elements are in your favor, and I'd say keep going, because paradox in the world, in your newly created self, step forward. I like it a lot.
Very nice. It's been a very positive evening so far. I like it.
Yeah. Well, let's see what we got for Audra.
All right. Audra, rounding it out, we have number 2, esteem and validation.
Good one.
Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Audra, I've got the Jack of Diamonds, so the Knight of Pentacles. So as you're moving forward, I'm going to say this in matters of finances, in matters of your creativity that help you with belongings or the physical world, I think that there's a benefit coming to you. So in validating yourself and growing your own self-esteem, you're able to see, this is gonna, might sound, I don't mean to trespass, but see money in a different way. You know, as much as we all love to work, we also work to get money, you know, and it's keeping that perspective of, you know, the win-win and what you bring to the table and what you receive. So it's feeling more confident, not being intimidated by money, I think is what I want to say to you, Audra. So good for you. I feel that big shift for you also. And okay, I'm going to sound like a hokey fortune teller for a minute, but I see some money coming to you. Extra money, so a little, it's like a little gift of unexpected. So good for you.
Always nice to hear.
Yeah. I like that. Now, I know we've had some glitches and busyness here in the chat. Did I miss anybody? How are we doing?
I don't believe so. I think we got everybody. I was just looking through myself here. And yeah, I think we got everybody that needed a card.
Yeah. It is. Sorry.
I was just going to say, it kind of flew by tonight, didn't it?
It sure did. Oh, thanks for saying that. Audra says she has a test for her management position tomorrow, and she thinks, she's hoping something good comes through. I absolutely believe that's coming through. Good luck tomorrow. We know you're going to kick that. You're going to be
absolutely
awesome.
Good luck.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. You know, if I can just say about time loops, and again, in quantum physics or quantum understandings, some things are beyond me. I'm the first to admit that. But I have watched loops of time, and I wonder how much that also plays into moon cycles, the sun, you know, planetary electromagnetic shifts. And a friend of mine right now is going through some big changes, and they're good ones, but it's not without its challenges. And she's saying, holy, look at these loops of time. You know, I was dealing with that like 20 years ago, and how come that's coming up again? You know, and that's what I mean by, she said, there's a time loop. And it's fascinating where I have seen many of these time loops. Sometimes they're compressed into 9-10 years. And sometimes in those cycles of 7, if I'm looking.
And coming up again.
Some things are just, I feel like there's a familiar something here. But I wonder how much there would be a correlation with Well, there would have to be some kind of electrical pulse, you know, in the cosmos. And do we have different expressions of similar things? You know, I don't think that events are necessarily destined. I think energy is propelled, and then we're on Earth and it kind of manifests. And Audra says, I'm in almost the same place I was as 10 years ago, starting fresh again. See, that's a loop, as I see it. And it more likely around 9 years, if we're looking at numerology in a way, but that 10 years, she can nail it as being significant. But what is in the energy of that 10-year shift? So starting fresh again, what is the learning of that? Like, am I explaining that okay, Michael?
Yeah, I think so.
It's not the event so much as it is the...
The lesson therein?
Exactly. The lessons of the self-observations, the... What? How is the consciousness expanded? What's the familiarity and picking up from an old lesson or expanding on a part of yourself, you know, from before? So that's what I look for, is just not just what I was doing, but how I was doing it. So it's just to observe those things and wondering how much all these cycles play in and frequencies.
Well, they do. Yeah. And, you know, it is interesting. We've had two back-to-back broadcasts where we talked about cycles and patterns. And, you know, it's just another good point in how mathematics really plays into the natural world.
I agree.
Probabilities and what have you. And it's really just a fascinating topic. And it's been a great discussion tonight. And, you know, it's something that can be a very broad topic, because there's a lot of areas we really haven't even touched on yet.
I know. Well, we do try to. It's an interesting thing in our programs. We try to condense a topic into a format of time. At the same time, you know, we get into it and we could talk for hours. You know, so it's how do we keep it into this confined space of let's talk about this aspect of the moon and sun and humanity, and then there's another aspect and another aspect. And it can go on for forever. So sometimes I think we have nothing to talk about. Other times, there's so much to talk about. We take a sliver, you know.
Well,
and this is one of those topics, I'm afraid.
Absolutely, you know, a lot of what we talked about tonight will be interwoven in other broadcasts and other discussions. In the patterns of life, the cycles of nature, you know, and it's just something that comes up because it's a part of the fabric of our existence, so how could it not? And, you know, I think, speaking of...
Wendy just said, let's talk for hours.
Absolutely. Why not? Why not? We'll just keep going until we lose everybody in the live chat.
Go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to sleep.
But
okay,
you know,
I was thinking,
speaking of, you know, cycles and really the cycle of life is an immense one. And I was thinking next week, how about this? The kind of a metaphysical approach on the cycles of life and death.
Hey, that's a good topic. I like it. We'll do that. So, I like that topic.
So
life
something,
and death, you bet.
Something light, something easy, you know, something that
sure.
It's a breezy conversation. So something we can look forward to discussing next week. And, you know, tonight it's been a pleasure talking with you, as always, going over these interesting things. And I wouldn't have known to look at the article we talked about beforehand if not for using the interesting points being made up. I appreciate everybody joining us in the live chat. People that can bring some interesting points to the table, and we can discuss them live on air. Always makes it a more dynamic experience. So thanks to everybody that joins us live. And, you know, any last thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
No, we're past the middle of August, heading into nearing the end of, you know, our summer up here in the Northern Hemisphere. Of course, nearing the end of winter, if you're in the southern hemisphere, and I can really feel the shift. And of course, in the world, we're having lots of shifts, and politically, we're in lots of shifts. And that COVID thing. Like to remind everyone to take one day at a time. Everybody's got their stuff to work through. Be optimistic. Do your best and reach out if you need a hand. Call us if you need to, or write us an email if you need to, even if it's you need a little bit of support. But we're all here for each other, and just know that this next season, as I'm seeing it, is going to bring some really startling good changes. So hang in there, one day at a time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And thank you, everybody, for joining us, and look forward to seeing you all next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.